Hey, everybody, we're here again with another individual with the Follow the Leader series, and this time it's one of my favorite leaders because she's not only sharp, she does everything she teaches, and every time that I'm around Lynn Terry, I'm reminded of what it really takes to be successful, and that is that you do your work, but at the same time, you also have a life. There are periods of life where you really work hard, and there's periods of life where you get to take pull back and take a little time off. But if you follow a series of fundamental principles, you can be highly successful. And one of the things that I admire most about Lynn is the way that she is able to get organic traffic. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about today. And I hear some dogs in the background.
Yes, I have a Great Dane, and he is having a cow this morning.
That is awesome. I love it. So, you know, we're going to talk today about one of the things that you covered on your site at clicknews.com. And everybody, that's clicknews.com. And it's 8 elements of organic marketing. I really love this concept. And when I was reading about this, I thought, wow, I want to talk to Lynn so much more about it because it's an overlooked area. I know in my business and most likely in the businesses of the members here at Nicheology. Can you give us just a quick overview of the concept and what it really means to be an organic marketer?
Yeah, you know what, that was an especially good post, and we should just give them the link there. That's Click News with a Z again, clicknews.com/3091 if they want to read the full article. But that was really came out of a frustration when I wrote that, because I see so many people, you know, trying strategies and trying methods, and you know, basically there are some good solid methods out there. I mean, basically, you know, you can get a guide and you can do all the steps, but it may or may not work for you, and that's really frustrating for a lot of people. And the thing that they were, the core thing they were missing, in most of the cases, the people that I spoke to, was the application of it. I mean, you know, it's basically like you could do the squeeze page, build a list method, or you could do the, I don't know, info products or this or that. But the thing is that they were not having a strong message to market match, meaning they were just doing the strategy, not necessarily building a business or having a real objective behind it or putting any real creative thought into what they were doing exactly. And that's okay when you're, you know, when you're reading a guide and it's making all of this, you know, these promises, and it's telling you, hey, if you do this, this, and this, it will work. That's true to a point. It works in some markets. It doesn't work in others. It may or may not work for some keywords and not others. And so I wrote about this because this is basically the strategy that I've been using for years. And I call it an organic marketing strategy because, you know, it's not all about follow the rules or doing quote-unquote tactics. So it's more about knowing your market, getting to know your market, interacting with your market, serving your market. That's a big phrase that I like to use a lot. So, you know, the core thing behind an organic marketing strategy is being a middleman between merchants and markets, or providing value. And that's the big thing that's missing. Let's take affiliate marketing, for example, which is my thing. I love niche affiliate marketing. And the big thing I see missing for most affiliate marketers is they're not adding value to the process. So they think that their job is just to sell. And, I mean, who wants to be a salesman? I mean, really, you know, being a salesman is not a lot of fun. But if you can find a way, if you can find an angle where you're adding value to both the merchant and to the market, whether you're bringing, you know, products to the market or you're bringing the market to the merchants, that's a fun place to be, and it requires an organic marketing strategy. It requires getting to know the market, figuring out where they are, figuring out what they like, and delivering exactly that.
So how do we do that? How do we figure out, you know, we're in a market, let's say, let's use something that is pretty broad. Let's say that we're in fitness, and maybe a little more specifically, we're helping people lose their first 10 pounds and keep it off. You know, how do I find out what the market really wants, what they're thinking, what they're going through? Do I need to focus on, you know, the mental aspect, the psychology of it? Do I need to focus more on a general overview of the market itself, what are some ways that I'm going to be able to dive in and figure out exactly what it is that I'm looking for?
That is such a great question. And I'll tell you, Paul, the key, number one, is don't enter into a market where you're not the target market. Meaning, you know, choose something that you're personally passionate about, whether it means you're experienced at it or an expert at it, or you're just interested in it. It doesn't matter either way. To give you an example, I started a brand new niche site this year. It's called travelinglowcarb.com. And I do consider myself an expert traveler, but as far as the low-carb diet, that was my absolute, you know, very first time ever trying it. So I started it in April. I think I lost 8 pounds in the first 10 days. I continued on it and just worked really well for me. And so I started a blog, which is more of a personal blog, and it's not, hey, I'm an expert in this diet, and here's everything you need to know. It's, hey, this is working for me, and this is what I'm doing, and here's what I'm eating, and here's where I'm going. And it really picked up traction because, you know, there really are, you know, three types of bloggers, and this could go along with any type of business model, really, whether you're communicating with them via email or whether it's a social media thing or whether it's blogging or whatever. People are going to read along either because you're the expert or because you're someone that's just like them, someone they can relate to, and they want to kind of learn from you and learn from your mistakes and follow in your footsteps and that kind of thing. So you don't necessarily have to be an expert, but being your own target market helps dramatically because then you know where they hang out because it's where you hang out. You know the lingo. You get, you know, you learn the kind of the nuances of that particular niche. So I think that, for me, is the most important thing. Also because if it's not something I'm passionate about, I burn out on it pretty quick. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
Who wants to run a business? You know, like, I don't cook, so there's no way I want to run a bakery. I don't care how profitable it is, right?
I love that. I tell you, I love that message because I'm definitely, you know, tired of seeing, hey, you can basically know nothing, be nothing, do nothing, and get rich. And the truth is that when we align with who we are, and that does motivate us, it does allow us to be passionate, it works out so well. So let's say that we've gotten into our market now. We feel pretty good about it. It's who we are. We feel connected. I love how you said, I just began blogging. I think that that's something we can all connect with and feel like, okay, I can do that. And how do we then begin developing that and, you know, getting some links in or getting people interested? How do we start driving traffic to that but still staying with the organic marketing and not allowing it to become a rote, okay, so-and-so said that I'm supposed to tweet, so I'm going to tweet. Somebody said that I've got to have a fan page, so I'm going to go get a fan page. How do we stay true to ourselves and to our market and yet blend in a natural marketing strategy at the same time?
Right. Okay, first and foremost, if you're doing things because people told you to do them, then you still have an employee mindset. You need to get into the entrepreneur mindset of, I'm going to do what's best for my business and for my market and or for my sponsors or merchants because I'm an entrepreneur, so I make the decisions. You know, if you're looking for the blueprints or you're asking someone, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, then like I said, you're still in the employee mindset. So it's very important to really kind of get a feel for your market. So let's just take keywords, for example. Okay, everybody's familiar with keyword research and SEO, whether you're good at it or not, you know the terms. And the thing is it's not just all about numbers. It's about intent. So you take keywords just as an example, and you don't make it overly difficult, and you don't try to figure out all the Google updates and blah, 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 blah. You want to look less at the numbers even and look more at the intent of the search as a whole and the overall group of related phrases. Get an idea of what your market is searching for and why. Be a little bit intuitive. And then basically you're going to create content that responds to that. And I will tell you, you know, there are a lot of people who, you know, just can't comprehend SEO. It's not that complicated. But if you do not optimize your content for the things your market is asking for, you're doing them a disservice. So instead of looking at it as a tactic or as a strategy, look at it as a response. Okay, this is specifically what my market is searching for. The keyword research data that I'm looking at is not about marketing strategy. It's about this is what my market is asking me. So then you respond to that very specifically so that you can have a conversation with your market by ranking well enough so that they find you in the search engines. So it's basically just kind of a shift in mindset from looking at it as, a tactic or, you know, a specific angle for marketing. You want to look at it as a human being, you know.
I think is the thing that a lot of people are trying not to do. They're really wanting that kind of plug-and-play system. But you're saying if we allow ourselves to do this a little bit more intuitively, like deep down we really know this is what people are looking for because we looked for it. Or if we go to the keywords, we can tell which ones the people really are interested in our given market that really sound like human beings rather than saying, oh, that looks like a good keyword. That's probably going to get me some traffic. We've got to make the shift into becoming a lot more natural and a lot more aligned, like what you're saying, to straight to the market and thinking about the market first instead of simply thinking about either my bottom line or completing this task, which is, I think that if we could do that, it's a breakthrough. It's such a challenge. How do you move people from that employee mindset to the entrepreneurial mindset? What are some things there that are going to help them bridge that gap a little bit?
Basically looking at it like a business. This is my business. This is not, you know, the internet lottery. And I know a lot of big red headlines have tried to make you feel that way, and that's pulled a lot of people in. But the reality is that those people are engaged with their market. No matter what strategy they're teaching, if they are teaching you a plug-and-play strategy, they're doing it by engaging you. And so look less at what they're teaching and look more at what they're doing. I think that would be, you know, the first key. But realize it's a business. Do you know I'm coming up on my anniversary? I'll have been working online and from home for 15 full years. That blows my mind. I don't know where time goes. I'm just sitting here at my desk, and it just 15 years went by. Anyway, the thing that I've learned over the years is that a lot of times there are no blueprints out there that are going to work for everybody. But if you look more at, like I said, what they're doing than what they're teaching, you can learn so much. I like to go outside of internet marketing and look at how things are being done there. Look at how things are being done, you know, in other niches such as sports or with brands, washing machines. How do people sell washing machines online? You know, that kind of thing. And pay attention to what they're doing and how they're engaging with their market. Now, mind you, this has changed a lot over the last 15 years. You know, originally, you know, everything on the internet was fact. You know, if you read it on the internet, it was true. And there were a lot of different ways to optimize things and blah, blah, blah. But right now, more than ever, engagement is key. And I'll tell you, you know, in regards to, we were talking about search engine updates, like Google updates, people get all freaked out about that. I've never been hit as far as my rankings. My rankings have never been hit by any kind of an update at all. But the current key right now, going back to engagement, is social media. And Google is looking very specifically at, they're letting the general public decide what's quality instead of letting links decide what is quality. So going forward, and this is nothing new. The SEO community has been talking about it for years, but it is coming to term right now that your social media rank will be more important than PageRank ever was. So it's basically that, you know, the number of shares, the number of likes, the number of plus ones and tweets and retweets are going to be more important to your page's ranking than anything else. So right now it's all about creating that quality content. And if you optimize it properly, people can find it to link to it. And people, of course, can just find it, period. But it's about creating the kind of content people want to link to. So instead of being out there hiring link services or building link hubs or, you know, doing all these link strategies, the point is to create share bait and to create link bait. to basically to write content that answers the question so well, or that it's so great, whether it's funny or negative or controversial or thought-provoking or just otherwise highly interesting in some way, that people just naturally link to it. They naturally share it. They want to put it on their Facebook profile, or they want to tweet it and share it with their friends or what have you. So that's it. And when you're in your market, let's say, you know, that you said fitness, for example, and if you are your target market, it becomes very easy because you can just look at the things that you've linked to yourself. What kind of content do I share? That's the exact kind of content that you want to create. So another thing, too, I mean, you don't have to be, you know, totally engrossed in it. Like I said, I'm really new to my niche, both personally and professionally. And so for me, you know, I go where the people are and figure out what they're linking to. I watch what they're linking to. I follow them on Facebook. I follow them on Twitter and on Google Plus and everywhere else. I read their blogs. They're in my reader. And I look at what gets them the most contents, what gets shared the most, what kind of stuff is getting passed around or retweeted. And that gives me an idea of how that particular market operates because they're all different. I mean, we are working with human beings, and you know, each little, you know, market works differently. When you think about, for example, what sports fans are into versus what you know, fitness folks are into, it's completely different, and not every method is going to work the same in every market. So you have to do a little you know, a little homework, a little voyeurism, and figure out, you know, what's working, what's getting passed around, what you can do to slide into that whole content stream. You know, there's the stream there that's active and going, and then there's all the other junk on the sidelines, you know, like the slow, mucky water. But it's important to figure out, okay, what is that mainstream stuff? What are they responding to, and how can I get in there and do that? Another important thing, too, you know, while you're there, a lot of people think, oh, I've got to go to Facebook where there's like 800 million people, and I've got to funnel all that traffic into my website, right? Instead, you really want to meet your market right where they are. So if they're on Twitter, talk to them on Twitter. Have discussions on Twitter. If they're on Facebook, talk to them on Facebook. A lot of times I see that, you know, people are constantly trying to, you know, drain the traffic, and they're just getting a trickle. But if you engage with them on the platform where they are, whether that's in a hot, you know, topical forum or whether it's on Facebook or whatever, the key is to have that discussion with them right where they are, right where they're comfortable. And then they get to know you, they get to like you, then they might check out your site and become a reader, and that's all good. But the point is I see a lot of people trying to, like I said, funnel that traffic. Instead of taking advantage of the fact that they have, you know, a hotbed of conversation and market research and interested consumers right there on that platform where they can engage and do business.
So basically, if I'm hearing you right, I'm going to put this in, I guess, a little bit of a formula, but not a formula that somebody's just going to go out and say, okay, here, finally, I've got my steps. But if I'm hearing you, you're saying that we're going to create really great content. It's really strong, highly valuable. Secondly, that we're going to begin having conversations wherever our market is. And where that's what's going to end up bringing them, you know, back to the site, hopefully, but at minimum, you're going to be building connection with the market. That's going to give you more ideas for more content, and you're going to eventually be positioning yourself, not necessarily as the expert, but someone who's well-known in that area, trusted in that area. And so your marketing ends up becoming a lot more about who you are and what you stand for than simply going out there, following a strategy, and hoping that something works.
Absolutely. Right. And you know, there's lots of ways to repurpose that. Let's say, you know, for example, I'm having a great discussion on Facebook. And I'll just give you a few real quick examples. And then someone asks a question in the middle of that discussion, and it's a really good question, but it requires or could lead to a much more in-depth response than, you know, you can really give on Facebook. And so I might say, you know what, that's an awesome question. Do you mind if I blog about it? I've been happy to give you credit, you know, for the question or whatever. And so then out of, you know, out of a simple question on Facebook, I've come up with some of my best blog posts. Another thing, too, is having a big, you know, discussion, an active discussion on Twitter, and then I've taken that discussion and repurposed it into a blog post because not everybody catches everything on Twitter. And so I've repurposed it into one place or even as a PDF file, and then I'll come back and tweet and say, hey, that was an awesome discussion. Here's an archive of the entire thing if you missed any of it, you know, or something to that effect. And so there's lots of ways to repurpose that and to really, you know, over-deliver and serve your market in the process. But really, you know, like you said, when we talk about an organic marketing strategy, it's about doing it naturally instead of going out there and spamming social bookmarking sites and doing blog comment spam and all that other stuff someone may have told you that you absolutely have to do to get rankings.
It's exhausting.
It is exhausting, and it'll catch you in an update. But the point is that instead of doing all that boring crap, you can actually get out there and talk to people and have fun with it if you're in a niche that you absolutely enjoy, if you really like it. There's another thing, too, is leverage. And this is huge. I think a lot of people fear competition. And I always say there's no such thing as competition. Like, the more competition, the better, right? Like, for me, when I look at a competitive niche, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's more keyword phrases, there's more affiliate programs, there's more products, there's more sponsors or potential advertisers, there's just more everything. And but a lot of people fear competition. I say leverage it. You know, if somebody has spent 10 years building up the greatest blog ever and you think, I could never compete with that, don't even try. Leverage it, you know. So guest blog for them and get in front of their audience. If they rank well for everything, if they have, you know, let's say they have an established aged site that, you know, is very popular or whatever, guest blog for them. Sponsor one of their posts. Comment on their blog. Join their forum. Promote their products. I mean, there are just so many ways that you can leverage that. You know, have conversations with them and interact with them on social media channels. And you want to, you know, share their content, which will give you trackbacks on their blog. So if you quote something they said that was just genius and then you write your own piece, you know, in response to it instead of commenting on their blog, that'll create a trackback from their blog. So if they show, that's a really good thing you can do. And, again, I don't use it so much as a strategy, but more as a way of, I'm thinking to myself, if I have a really detailed comment to this blog post, then it serves my market and my readership to discuss it on my blog.
Right.
So instead of leaving some, you know, big, long, drawn-out reply on their blog, I might leave a little comment but go and quote a piece of it and discuss it on my blog and open the discussion up with my readers. So I'm sharing something great with them. And I'm getting a track back, of course, you know, from the other blog usually, and also getting the attention of that particular market leader, which is very important because you do want to, you know, do a lot of networking. But like I said, you know, you really want to leverage competition. Guest blogging, I mentioned, is one of the easiest ways to get in front of their audience. I mean, they worked really hard to build it up, right?
Right.
So instead of, like, constantly beating yourself over the head trying to compete with them, just go guest blog for them and be smart about it. Again, you know, you don't want to just do some dumb strategy. You want to go check out their blog, maybe see something that they're, you know, really into or doing real heavily right now, or how can you leverage what they currently have going on? Like, how can you help them out? I'll give you an example. Let's say you're at my blog and you're reading that I just, you know, have been reviewing a product. And I've been discussing it quite a bit in the last few posts. Maybe you own that product or you like that product, or maybe you go buy that product and just consume it and try it and all kinds of other stuff, whatever. Then you could write a case study or a personal experience or something and say, hey, I noticed that you're recommending this product and I would love to share my personal experience if you want to share that with your audience. And let them use their affiliate link in the post. All you really want is a link back to your site.
Right.
Right. So it's the best way to get the highest quality natural inbound link, number one, It's also a great way to get traffic. You get right in front of an active readership of your target market. But in addition to that, it's also going to probably go out to all their social media channels and even their email readers. I mean, it's just the easiest thing you can do, guest blogging. But again, you don't want to do some crap strategy like write a 500-word article that reads horrible and is formatted horrible and who cares, just trying to get it in there. You really want to look at, okay, what are they writing about? What are they passionate about? How can I squeeze in there with an offer they can't refuse to publish?
Yeah, real briefly, you know, what's the best way to approach someone that, you know, has a great blog like that and you'd love to blog for them? You feel like you're going to add incredible value. You know, what's the best way to contact?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, you want to go back, you know, to the beginning when you, you know, first setting up your blog or your site or your niche or whatever, and you want to seek out all your market leaders. Make a list of all the people that are kicking it in your niche, period. Where are your, you know, target market reading? Where are they going? What blogs are they reading? You know, what are they, what Facebook pages are they interacting on and all that kind of stuff? And you want to engage there way before you have anything to offer. So you build up a rapport, you get noticed, you get seen, they've had conversations with you before, so you're not a complete stranger when you do approach them with an offer. I think that's very important. When I first set up my newest, you know, niche blog, I went all out, Facebook page, Twitter account, Google+, Tumblr, and everything, and built up my social media properties. That's how I managed to land my first sponsor within just 2 short months. My site was only 2 months old because I had a very strong social media presence already. A lot of people won't start doing that stuff until they have something to market, which is a big mistake. So anyway, but going back to the best way to contact them, everyone's different. Everyone is different. Some people, you know, want you to email them. Some people want you to call them on the phone. Some people respond better on Twitter. So the key is kind of getting to know them and getting to know what their preferences are. They'll have a contact page or, you know, you'll see that they're more engaged on Facebook than they are on Twitter or whatever. Just use a little common sense, basically. Like personally, I dislike it when people message me on Facebook through my personal profile. I mean, that's where I talk to my family, you know. So somebody sends me a JV proposal there, I'm like, click, you know. But that's, everybody's different, right? And so it just kind of pays to see what their preference is. And, you know, one thing, you know, if you notice they're very active on Twitter, say, hey, I'd love to get in touch with you about XYZ review. You know, be specific. Don't be vague, because I don't respond to vague, and I know a lot of people who are super busy don't have time to. But be specific about something that gets their attention. So let's say if I have a product review that I'm really promoting right now, and somebody, you know, tweets me or posts on my Facebook page and says, I'd love to talk to you more about XYZ product review that I saw on your site. What's the best way to get in touch with you? So, you know, ask like that. But if they have a contact form, use it. If, you know, and if they don't, like, don't go all the way around and under and over and everywhere else to try to find their phone number. If they don't publish it freely, don't go, you know, snooping in their domain registration or whatever. Because they obviously don't want to be called, right?
Right.
and that's that. I mean, so I think it just, it's, again, it goes back to just the whole natural human common sense way of doing things. Pay attention.
Love it. Great, great stuff. Toward the end of the article, you hit about being consistent, about doing, I guess, day in and day out or week in and week out. And I know a lot of folks that really give up way too soon. Part of it could be because the passion really isn't there. Part of it is that they're trying to follow something that's so unnatural for them. But talk to us just a little bit about consistency and variety in our marketing.
It's incredibly important. Yeah, being consistent is probably the most important thing. I was just having a big conversation with myself. That happens a lot. But I was having a big conversation with myself just this week about that, because I'm looking ahead at the year ahead. It's getting that time of year where I do that, start doing some big planning. And I have these big goals and these big dreams, and I know exactly where I want to be, you know, in the next couple of years. And, boy, that gets overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
And so I said to myself, all right, what did I do to get where I am now? I mean, because I've achieved great success against insane odds. And so sometimes you just have to look at that. And the one thing that stood out to me is I was consistent. I just kept doing it. And even if it's just the smallest things that you do, you know, as long as you do something each day. And that's the cool thing, too, about my newest niche site. I work on it less than an hour a day. And
wow.
So it's just kind of, it's just, yeah, it's a hobby site. It's something like that. And it's in profit. It's doing well. It could, you know, do incredibly well if I were working on it full time. And I have days I wish I could because I love it so much. But I work on it less than an hour a day, the whole point being to prove to people that you could start this and you could get this going even if you had a full-time job and a family, which I do. You know, I'm a single mother to two children, and I already have a very successful career. So to have a little side hobby or project and show that it can be, that it can grow and become profitable within the first couple of months, I thought would be kind of a fun thing. Anyway, so being consistent is the most important thing. First of all, just taking action is not enough. I mean, we can all get online and, like, do stuff every day. You know, oh, I got three more Facebook fans, or oh, I did this. But if you don't have an objective, it's kind of pointless. So first, know your goal. Know exactly where you're going, what you want to achieve. And then once you know your goal, just do something every single day towards that goal. I mean, you know, internet marketing, online business can very easily be compared to weight loss, right? So let's say if your goal was to lose 50 pounds, for example, then every single day you do something, whether you can do a 15-minute walk or you can not eat dessert or whatever. It's just that you make a conscious choice every single day to do something toward your end goal, not just something in general. So blogging for the sake of blogging is stupid. Blogging with an objective is very smart. It's just, you know, and I see people doing that. You know, I've got a blog and I posted all this content that I bought from someone and nothing's happening. Well, duh. What was your point in the first place? Well, I don't know. I was told to blog. So it all goes back to having that. It all goes back to having that objective, knowing exactly what you want to achieve. I use this in every aspect of my life, too. Like, just quirky thing about me, I moved into my home, I don't know, like 3.5 years ago, and I haven't, like, organized it yet. So, like, I haven't hung pictures or anything. Don't laugh. But anyway, so that's one of my, you know, personal objectives. And it works in my personal life, too. I use this in everything. So every single day I do one thing toward getting my home exactly how I want it. It might be something really simple. Like today I cleaned out a kitchen cabinet, just one little cabinet. Took 5 minutes. Done. Marked off the list. So then I can move on. And I know that seems silly. And it seems like, okay, how is that really going to help in the grand scheme of things in all three floors of this house, right? But it does. And it's exactly how I got where I am today from where I was 15 years ago, by just doing the tasks. Every single day consistently working towards the goal. And I way surpassed my goals at one point, which was a weird place to be, and then I was lost for a little while. But now I'm back at it with new goals. But the point is consistency. You have to be persistent, and you have to be consistent in being there. You know, like, is what's really going to help you build a market or a following. That's what you want. Because I will tell you, if you are in a specific market or niche and you have a loyal readership or you have a following, you can make money. The options will be endless. People will be coming to you trying to throw money at it because they want to get in front of the audience. So that's your goal, is to build the audience. So the biggest thing you can do is do that, is create a readership, is to create a presence, and to consistently be there and consistently be available and be engaging with them. And so that's the most important thing, especially – if you hate link building, which who doesn't? Who enjoys link building? But if you don't like link building, then you need to get out there and build a readership, because they will do your link building for you. They'll share your stuff. They'll link to your stuff. They'll blog about your stuff. They'll tell their friends about your stuff. So if you don't like link building, you definitely need to get into community building. Absolutely. So I think that's it, you know, basically on being consistent. It sometimes seems like, you know, if I do these three small tasks, like install this plugin and set up this Facebook page and update my about page. But those things are, you know, are building blocks, you know, to ultimately getting where you want to be. I mean, you'll set up your Facebook page one day and like, okay, that took 5 minutes. But then, you know, at the point that you look back from, you know, having 20,000 raving fans that share everything you post on there, that step was very important.
Lynn, thank you so much for being with us today, because what you shared, like anything else, if applied, is going to make a huge, huge difference. I love your heart. I love where you're coming from, because I think that this message that you're sharing today is so critical and really not heard enough. So, guys, make sure that you read the full article over at clicknews.com/3091. But, of course, that's not the only article on the site. She has got hundreds of articles that are all equally as good. You really need to block out some time and get to know Lynn, get to know what she's doing, how she's doing it. She's one of the few that you can actually follow that has high integrity, always shares incredible value, just like she's done today, gives freely without expectation, and you really need to be in her space if you're not already there. She's one of the few people that I just really trust and really love what she produces, because I've grown so much from it and I've learned so much from it. Anything else you want to tell the folks today, Lynn, or any other links they need to know about?
You know what? I just want to say thanks for listening in, and thanks to you, Paul, for having me on. I have the greatest respect for you. Was absolutely thrilled when you called me up for this quick talk. So just thanks a million. I really appreciate that. Would love to hear from you guys if you have questions or what have you. I stink at email, but I'm on Twitter at Lynn Terry. I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/LynnTerryBiz. So leave a comment on my blog or hit me up on Facebook or Twitter if you have any questions or want to discuss anything. And thanks again, Paul. Like I said, really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Lynn. And you guys, you know, go and get in conversation with Lynn. Make sure you visit her site. I'm going to put all those links right under this recording, so super easy access. And you guys, as always, follow the leader and be blessed.